You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Can you look out your window right now?
Yeah.
Can you see God about 4,000 feet, about 5 east of your airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, I see him.
Do you see God? Look, is he descending through the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
He's 500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation. What kind of airplane is that? Can you guys tell?
I don't know. I'll read it out in a minute. Another one just hit the building.
Wow. Another one just hit the World Trade.
The whole building just came apart.
Oh, God. Holy smokes.
This is September the 12th, 2022. That, of course, a reminder of what happened 21 years plus one day. September 11th, yesterday, was a day that actually was the anniversary of what happened. The tower attack, the Pentagon, the plane going down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But since we were not on the air yesterday, we're going to focus on a lot of that today. We are live streaming this first hour on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble.com right now. Simply enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll open you right into our studio. You'll see other rumblings, but then also where to push and join us live. So you can watch the program live, but the first hour only, because the second hour is a replay of a special we did last year. Nothing's changed as far as what has happened, or did happen, I should say, on that fateful day, the modern Pearl Day Harbor attack. What has changed is that the fall of Afghanistan, according to the Department of Homeland Security, has allowed hundreds, if not thousands, a possible Taliban terrorist to get inside our country. And that is because as we were airlifting supposed Afghans who were loyal to our stance in that country, helping them for the 20 years, we brought in folks who were not properly vetted, despite what the administration has been telling you. We have at least 400 known terrorists spread throughout the nation, and probably closer to several thousand. They were not properly vetted, as we told they would be. This is according to an Inspector General bombshell report inside the Department of Homeland Security. We're going to focus on that. We're going to focus, of course, as to how we still have our open border, even if we didn't fly them in direct. And that's the part that should absolutely incense you, especially in remembrance of 9/11, that we flew terrorists on U.S. military planes into the U.S. and released them into the public. And, of course, the border being open under this administration, we know we've caught at least four, 40 to 60 terrorists on the no-fly list. They came across the border. They weren't going to be able to get in any other way, but the border's wide open. So they come across. We're going to be spending a lot of time on that. And, of course, I also want to take time to acknowledge some good things that happened yesterday in remembrance of 9/11, particularly at one sports game in particular. Then also we're going to remind you there's a Democrat Illinois congresswoman who wants to list among the dead on 9/11 the terrorist. Yeah, they were killed, but who cares? She does. And for that, we're going to pinpoint and highlight her issue. We also have this Illinois bill, which is suddenly catching fire and everyone becoming aware because it got passed in the middle of the night earlier this year, the Safety Act, which goes into effect this coming January in Illinois, which basically according to some, will be setting off a time bomb and throwing open the jails all across the state of Illinois. You're not going to be safe in that state unless you're a criminal. So we have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I'll remind you again, the second hour will not be live on Rumble.com. It will be a replay of the program we did a year ago on September 11th, marking the 20-year anniversary. Compelling, hard to listen to in the sense that reliving the horrors, but we must never, never, never forget. Let your family and friends know. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's, low number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Our intelligence, defense, and counterterrorism professionals in the building behind me and across the government continue their vigilance against terrorist threats that has evolved and spread to new regions of the world. We'll continue to monitor and disrupt those terrorist activities wherever we find them, wherever they exist, and we'll never hesitate to do what's necessary to defend the American people.
The words of President Biden yesterday outside the Pentagon for a memorial service on the actual date of 9/11, 21 years since that tragedy, that terrorist attack. And here was President Biden again saying we have an obligation, a duty, a responsibility to defend, preserve, and protect our democracy. And yet this president has left open our southern border. And we have untold numbers of terrorists coming across. We know they're bringing drugs, fentanyl, across our nation. The daily death count from fentanyl, and I've been told that this number is really low, 250 a day, 250 a day die of fentanyl poisoning across this nation. That's directly from fentanyl. That's just not opioids of any type. It's Chinese-produced fentanyl placed into opium, heroin, marijuana sprinkled with it. And folks think they're buying it from someone, they're not going to have any trouble. They don't know. And they might actually get a great high the first time, or it might be their last time. But in addition to that, a bombshell report from the Department of Defense Inspector General that's going to be investigating allegations that Biden has resettled nearly 400 Afghans across the U.S. who are listed as potential threats to national security. Now, does that sound like between those two events, our southern border no longer existing, and bringing in unvetted Afghans after our disastrous withdrawal, not properly vetting when we were told they would be, and now they're inside our country? Now, they might not cause any harm, many of them, if not most. But do you want to take the chance? Do you want to open up a room in your house for one of these unvetted Afghan refugees? I know we all have compassion. We want to take care of people. That's just our nature, especially if they have children. But we have been played. We've been played at the border when groups come across with children in tow as acting as if they are a complete family when they're not. They've become aware that if you really want to come across the border without any real difficulty, bring a child with you. May not be yours. Kidnap one somewhere south or pay a family for their child. And maybe the family actually thinks, I'm doing good for my child. They'll have a better life. Now, that's not even taking into account what might happen to that child along the route. Repeatedly sexually molested. And when they get here, sold into a sex den, and maybe they'll escape with their life. Many will not, and we, in the years coming forward, will hear such stories, and hopefully from survivors not finding graves of young children buried after they were used and abused to their final breath. And then we had a deal and an understanding with Afghans who were supporting us when our boots were on the ground for those 20 years. We know that the moment we leave, if the Taliban takes over, you and your family will have a target on your back. Your head will be chopped off without any concern. Every member, your family, your dog, and anyone near you. So we made agreements with some of them that we're going to give you special passes, so when we pull out, we will make sure we take you with you, that we will take you with us. But when the planes were being boarded at Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul, thousands were rushing to get onto the tarmac. You saw the pictures. You remember those. People clinging to the sides of Air Force jets as they're taking off, holding on as long as they could until maybe 2,000, 3,000 feet. They couldn't hold any longer, and they dropped to their death. That's how desperate they were to get out. Now, I doubt among those who were clinging to the outside of a jet, those were the terrorists. But inside, we were letting people on board without properly vetting them. We were told by the administration they will be properly vetted before they're brought to our shores. That apparently didn't happen. Let me share with you. The Department of Homeland Security Inspector General issuing a bombshell report, as they're calling it, and I would agree it is, that it reads, we determined some information needed to vet evacuees through U.S. government databases, such as name, date of birth, ID number, travel documentation data, was inaccurate, incomplete, or missing. We also determined that the Customs Border Patrol admitted or paroled evacuees who were not fully vetted into the U.S. We attribute the DHS challenges to not having, one, a list of Afghan evacuees who were unable to provide sufficient identification, two, contingency plan to support emergency situations, three, standardized policies. And stating again, as a result, the DHS may have admitted or paroled individuals into the U.S. who pose a risk to national security and the threat of local communities. This Inspector General report noted Then in January of 2022, we issued a notice of findings and recommendations document needing action immediately to address risk of evacuees, but apparently nothing's really been done. Senator Hawley of Missouri and Senator Johnson of Wisconsin detailing allegations from a whistleblower who claims that the Biden administration knowingly resettled almost 400 who were already listed as potential threats. Let's see if it's to be proven, but that's the allegation. We do know this, that two Afghans were settled in American communities that were, who they were later found to be secure, national security threats with ties to terrorism. One of them has already been deported. One. DHS said the other is in deportation proceedings. Do you hear anything there that backs up what the president said? We will protect the American people to our greatest extent. I do not. I don't hear that. Do you? I don't hear from this report and this concern that we don't have, and we'd already predicted this was going to happen. Just those coming across the border. Hundreds, if not thousands, of terrorists in our midst, now waiting for the signal. Who knows how many cells exist, or if they're all going to be individual, and at what time they will come, or if it'll be all in one day or spread out. We got through yesterday, and I have to tell you, I was holding my breath of the day that they might use that date. Maybe they feared there would be too much oversight, they could get away. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, of course, who ran for president, still denying, by the way, she lost. She didn't lose. She blames it on Comey. She blames it on Russian collusion. She blames it on the fact we have an electoral college, which is called for in our Constitution. But Hillary Clinton was on CNN yesterday talking about the, what we should learn from 9/11.
I feel grateful that we were able to come together as a country at that really terrible time. We put aside differences. I wish we could find ways of doing that again. We rebuilt New York. We have done our best to take care of the families that lost so much on that terrible day. And we have also, I think, been reminded about how important it is to try to deal with extremism of any kind, especially when it uses violence to try to achieve political and ideological goals. So I'm one who thinks that there are lessons still to be learned from what happened to us on 9/11 that we should be very aware of during this time in our country and the world's history.
And what she's referring to, she didn't use the words expressly, but she and all the Democrats are referring to that date that I told you they would be using to against Republicans and conservatives, not just MAGA Republicans, but Republicans and conservatives in general, January 6th. And to that extent, when you look at how they're playing that story out, I want you to hear this clip from Senator Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, on CBS Face the Nation yesterday.
The stunning thing to me is here we are 20 years later, and the attack on the symbol of our democracy was not coming from terrorists, but it came from literally insurgents attacking the Capitol on January 6th. So I believe we are stronger. I believe our intelligence community has performed remarkably. I think the threat of terror has diminished. I think we still have new challenges in terms of nation state challenges, Russia, and longer term, a technology competition with China. But I do worry about some of the activity in this country where the election deniers, the insurgency that took place on January 6th, that is something I hope we could see that same kind of unity of spirit.
Well, the election deniers would include Hillary Clinton and others like her. This is not just from some voices on the left still trying to tie everything, and our future threat is coming from inside, those related to January 6th or ever voted for Trump. Left-wing radio host, CNN contributor Dean Obadiah commemorated the 9/11 attacks with several posts promoting and equating former President Trump and MAGA Republicans with Islamic terrorists behind the 2001 attacks. That's right, he said terrorists are terrorists, be they bin Ladens or MAGA. Time to hold Trump accountable. January 6th was horrific. It was wrong, unpatriotic. But it was not anything like 9/11. Coming up, the fight to protect the papers and the documents are making them public from the Mar-a-Lago raid.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So in the last segment, I was telling you about how Hillary Clinton and Senator Warner of Virginia are among others who are saying that the real threat to America is still the election deniers. And one left-wing radio host insisting that what happened January 6th is equivalent to what happened 9/11, 21 years plus one day ago. That's so unreasonable, unlogical, over the top. It should be trashed. But many on the left are still buying into it. Was January 6th wrong? Yes, I've said it repeatedly. It was not patriotic. Only one was killed. That was the one shot by the security guard inside the Capitol as she tried to climb through a broken window. She had a backpack on. He did not know what she had in there. He knew, I cannot let her get inside. She and the others were breached several opportunities to turn around and go away. They will continue to cite numerous deaths at the Capitol. There were no numerous deaths. There followed heart attacks, things of that nature, and suicides, but there's no comparison. VP Harris was talking about the same thing yesterday on CNN and saying, I worry about attacks from within. I wish we'd approach it the same way as we did 9/11. It's a threat. Well, if you want to really look at the threat, what about what I just listed for you from Department of Homeland Security Inspector General report of how many unvetted Afghans have been brought into this country by this administration? No, their focus right now is on the Mar-a-Lago raid. And again, what can we do to destroy Donald Trump and anyone that might support him? I don't care if you support Trump or not. I just want you to look at the realistic situation around you and what's being pushed as real threats versus propaganda. At this hour, lawyers for President Trump, the former president, I should say, are meeting with a federal judge urging him to reject the Justice Department attempt to continue review classified documents. Each of them, the Department of Justice and the Trump lawyers have been presenting their suggestions to be special master appointed to oversee the documents. In other words, take a look at them and decide what should be released, what should not be released. Because the Department of Justice is suddenly saying, well, everything's too classified, too critical. I'm looking at a piece written by Margot Cleveland for The Federalist, and she said, in fact, the title said, President's DOJ does not want to disclose classified Mar-a-Lago documents except through selective leaks to leftist media. And classified is in quotes. And Trump today saying a lot of those things he had, they were not classified. He'd either declassified them himself or they should have been declassified long before. I don't know the story on that. I don't know the facts. I'm just telling you what each side says. there is a reason for a special master that's going to be fair to take a look inside. But according to Margo Cleveland, she said the government's latest motion strongly suggests the Biden administration is all in on pursuing a criminal case against the former president. Hiding behind the horror of 9/11, the Biden administration demands a federal judge in the country trust its targeting of a top political opponent, all while leaking details of the classified documents to a pliant press. That's right. Leaks have been showing up in the standard state-controlled media, New York Times, CNN, so forth and so on. Do you want real answers or do you want more propaganda? And don't forget the real threat that's in our country right now. Open borders and, of course, unvetted Afghans thrown into this country. Coming up, a crisis is going to be building in the state of Illinois because of George Soros-backed efforts to basically get rid of police, get rid of jails. Those in Illinois, this is going to affect you directly, but if you're going to travel through Illinois or have relatives or friends there, you need to hear this coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The bill will do nothing to promote public safety. It absolutely will hamper the ability of police to do their jobs, and it's going to harm the communities, and it's going to harm victims. And what gets most of the attention on this bill is this feature of the pretrial fairness provisions, which is the repealing of monetary or cash bail. And when you think about how cash bail works right now, pretty much anywhere in the country, you have a system where someone's arrested based on the severity of the crime that they're charged with, based on the characteristics of the defendant and their criminal history, and all of the other factors. The prosecutor makes a case to a judge right away and says, should this person be detained pretrial? Should they be released on bond, or should they be released on their own personal recognizance? What this law does is it completely upends the entire system in Illinois, effectively making it impossible for a prosecutor in most cases to make the case that a dangerous criminal needs to be detained for trial, thus meaning that someone will be arrested and it'll be catch and release, that they come into the jail, they're processed, and out the door they go.
That's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? And those are the remarks of an Illinois GOP congressional candidate, Jack Vret. He's running in the Chicago area, Cook County. He has served his country in the military, also has served as a prosecutor, so he knows of what he's speaking. That was a clip of him with the Gary Benson Show discussing the Illinois new Safety Act law that suddenly started catching attention last Friday after we were off the air. I don't know how many folks I ran into and said, did you hear what's happening in Illinois? With the law and the passage of it kind of got buried, according to Congressman Jack Vret, because it was passed through at midnight in January of this earlier this year, just trying to slip it under the door, and it got through. It was had a beautiful title, the Safety Act. And in fact, when it was first being promoted by the governor, he was quick to say this is going to be great. He was suggesting that we're going to do everything we can to make citizens safer in Illinois. That's the way it was being proposed by Governor Pritzker. Well, that's not exactly the way it's going to work. As you were hearing him say, it's going to basically expose more folks to crime, and it's not going to deal with the crime that's at hand. They are basically going to throw open the doors of the jail. And I'll explain how in just a moment. It doesn't say that specifically in the law. If you're looking for it, you're not going to find it. But if you understand how to read it and look between it, you do find it. Here's the way Governor Pritzker declared last summer. Illinois is leading the way in addressing the war on drugs as no state before. And he's holding up his Safety Act, SAFE-T Act, Safety Act. It begins with, as you heard from the would-be Congressman, Republican, Brett, the elimination of cash bail, which will begin January 1. That means criminal suspects will be detained before trial only in certain forcible felenies. You know what? And they're, even if they're considered, unless they're considered a direct flight risk or a danger. And even at that point, they're going to have 24 hours to roam around, 24 to 48 hours before a decision is made if they're going to put them under cash bail or no bail. And many violent crimes, and this is a key point, many violent crimes, including second-degree murder, would be part of this effort to go easier on the criminals. According to everything that's been shown, it would show that cash bail system, meaning those charged with second-degree murder, is a felony. Aggravated battery and arson could all be released without bail. And it would also include 12 non-detainable offenses. They would even include drug-induced homicide, possibly, arson, kidnapping, burglary, robbery, intimidation, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, threatening a public official. All of those, as of January 1, 2023, would be subject to no cash bail. It would be not necessary, meaning these suspects charged with these crimes would be released. Not we're saying no bail, you have to stay in. No, there'll be no bail, so you can just go free. And if they put a monitor on them, if they put an ankle monitor on some, they could have up to 24 to 48 hours roaming the area before they had to show up, get their monitor put on. Do you think they will? And then also, even if police are pursuing someone, if they have their lights on pursuing someone, and the car does not stop, and of course at that time the officer doesn't know, am I chasing somebody who just won't stop? They got a taillight out, I'm going to give them a ticket for that, or they fleeing from a crime. They won't, if they will not stop, unless they are directly at that time apparently engaged in an act against police or civilians along the way, running over them, things of that nature, that might raise the standard. But it appears that at that point, police will simply have to turn off the lights and pull over, go get a donut or something. Does that make sense to you? Does that make it sound like it's going to be safe for you? What about those of you who have friends and relatives in law enforcement? How safe are they going to be? Let's go back again to Jack Vret. Now, again, I remind you, he's a Republican candidate for the state legislature in Illinois. I said Congress. I meant state legislature earlier, up in the Chicago area. And he said, here's what you can expect going forward.
What is going to happen on January 1st is every single criminal defense attorney worth their salt is going to come to court and file a petition to release all of their clients and have them re-adjudged based on these new standards. And it is only in the very rare circumstances can a prosecutor make the case that folks that commit crimes that you listed there belong to be detained pretrial. So when you think about it before, the prosecutor would say, here is the risk of flight and that here is the danger to the community. Under the Safety Act now, there has to be a finding by clear and convincing evidence, which is more than a regular lawsuit when you think about a malpractice lawsuit or an auto accident. They have to show by clear and convincing evidence that there is a specific and real present threat to another person. So this is an example to prove how ridiculous this bill is. And this is something that one of my prosecutor friends that's still on the line relayed, is imagine someone is accused of domestic violence and murdering their spouse. Well, you won't be able to claim that the person poses a specific threat to another person because they've already killed their spouse. And you won't be able to present evidence that they're now a threat to another specific person. Those are the types of things that make it practically impossible for these people to be detained. And that's why that every single criminal defense attorney with their assault is going to file that petition right away, and we're going to see the gates of the jails just swing open on January 1st.
That should scare the hell out of you. And for those who are locked up right now, they cannot wait for January 1 and for their lawyers to get busy doing so, as you heard explained by Republican candidate for the Illinois State Legislature, Jack Brett. Why would they do something like this? Well, Governor Pritzker again said this bill will mark a substantial step toward dismantling the systemic racism that plagues our communities, our state, and our nation. Other supporters say it will make the justice system equal and fair, especially for minority communities. The House Chair of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus said it's a first stab at addressing public safety issues in minority communities. I don't see it's going to help minority communities. I think they're going to suffer more and immediate. 800-page law, and the big part is getting rid of the cash bail system. The Will County State Attorney said it's going to be the end of days once the law kicks in. Hands of police, prosecutors, and judges will be tied all across the state. What you see in Chicago, you're going to have elsewhere in the state. He said, I won't be able to hold anyone longer than 3 months if they demand a trial. On the 90th day, they get out no matter what crime they've committed. That's according to the Will County State Attorney. Of course, the push now is for November for those who are in running for office, that they bring that point forward, make it a bigger issue if it's a law and order candidate against those who are pushing for more George Soros type laws. We're going to be spending more time on this over the next few days. Obviously, it's going to be a continuing story. But when we come back, I want to go back to remembering 9/11 in our closing segment. The next hour will be entirely devoted to 9/11, a replay of our broadcast a year ago. The facts haven't changed. It's still horrific, but it's worth and important that you hear and share with others. But we come back a bright spot in yesterday.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Does that not send chills down your spine? That was taking place yesterday in the opening of the game between the New York Jets and Baltimore Ravens. The crowd taking over at MetLife Stadium, just 10 miles from ground zero of what happened 9/11. The Jets brought in the New York police officer, Brianna Fernandez, you heard at the end. She started the national anthem. No frills, just started singing it. And then you heard the crowd join in. And the scanning of the crowd showed tears and uplifted hands and folks singing, honoring those who died 21 years ago yesterday of the 9/11 attack. 22 years ago yesterday, actually, the 22nd anniversary. But that was just one example. All across the nation, firefighters and civilians dressed in full gear, climbing thousands of steps to honor those who lost their lives, climbing 110 floors as a symbolic gesture. Forsyth County, Georgia local fire department members, they came together to gather 100 and climb 110 flights in full gear, raising money for counseling and support programs. Same happened elsewhere in the nation. Outside Colorado Springs, Colorado, firefighters were climbing the Manitou Incline, wearing 60 pounds of gear. Only they weren't dealing with smoke and people screaming for help, but they were still doing it in honor of those firemen and first responders trying to get inside and help rescue. Some cases they did. Others they didn't, and they died along with the others. I want to share with you some comments we're getting on Larry Connors USA Facebook and my personal page. I always advise you to write to Larry Connors USA Facebook. That pops up quicker when I'm on the air. But I'll share some of these, and their names are in there in full. You can look and add your own comments. But I was talking about earlier, of course, about the number of unvetted Afghans brought into the country and our open border where they're coming across, how many terrorists are in this country. And according to the Homeland Security IG report, at least 400 dispersed across the country, more likely thousands. Brandy writes, they've been planted here for quite some time. I've been trying to warn people for years. David says, looks like we have a lot of problems coming on the horizon from decisions Democrats are making. Greg, Biden just keeps letting them in. It'd be our job to end it. Joe saying the truth is real. Catherine, our borders are wide open. It's disgusting. Vinny, I'm not surprised by this. Our government, I believe, is aware, but is silent. Brian, Larry, thank you for being a voice of reason in this lunacy we live through. Randy, I will never forget 9/11. I am locked and loaded. Sharon, finishing what Obama started. Jerry pointing out how the first 2 years of Biden helped create a lot of this opportunity. Danny said that was the plan all along by Democrats. He says that's why they cheated to be in control and now I'm blackmailed by businesses their kids are in. That's obviously a reference to Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the laptop. Which, by the way, I started watching. I haven't had a chance to finish it. I decided to shut it off early this morning. That was the Comey Law that was originally a Showtime presentation, now available on Netflix, is James Comey and what he was doing regarding the Hillary Clinton server, how he handled it, and then, of course, later when Trump came into office. It's apparently pretty well documented. A lot of remarks are taken direct from transcripts or tapes. So you might want to check it out. I'll try to discuss it more tomorrow. I have to point out that Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, Democrat of Washington State, when she's talking about those who died on 9/11, and she also then added every life lost, and by that she's referring to the hijackers, saying we have to remember they died too. Really? When she says those who lost their lives, she's also talking about the hijackers. So let me give you one more little piece of lifting information. Diane writes to me often. Her son, 6 years old, Braden, has been walking 11 miles in 11 days, got money brought in. He's making a one-year payment to Tunnels to Tower because of the donations. Great job, Brandon, for others that would do it. The next hour will be a pre-recorded reliving 9/11.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.